Welcome to another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, a journey through Spain's world of wine. Today, however, we are going to sidetrack a little and focus on a drink that is actually not wine, at least not wine made from grapes, though it is a drink that is made from fermented fruit juice. And let me explain here. In Spain, Christmas time seems to go on forever. It starts getting going around late November, I guess, when Advent starts, the way it does in many parts of the world. But then it really kicks in around Christmas Eve, and it carries on until January 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany. So in essence, they celebrate the 12 days of Christmas to their fullest. In fact, it's more like the 40 days of Christmas. And it is during this time that everything and anything that can be eaten is eaten, and anything and everything that can be drunk is drunk. Wine, as you would expect, is popular for Christmas. Cava, Spain's sparkling wine, is popular at New Year's. And then there is something special for the Three Kings Day, the Feast of the Epiphany, something that goes great with the Spanish version of the Three Kings cake. It's known as a roscón. And I am talking about none other than sparkling cider, sparkling hard cider, champagne-style cider, sidra, as they say in Spanish. Now, cider, or hard cider, as they call it in some places, is a well-known drink in many parts of Europe, and it's very popular in countries like the UK, as well as in Spain. But in Spain, it is most closely associated with the northern region of Asturias. Asturias is this beautiful mountain region right on the northern coast of the country, and there you will find lots of it. Sidra is also produced in the Basque Country, where it can be quite popular, especially in the province of Guipúzcoa and near San Sebastian, and to a lesser extent, Cantabria, which is the region between those two, and Galicia in the far northwest. Ironically, Galicia apparently grows the most cider apples in the country, but then exports most of them to places like Asturias. So, by now you should know that in Asturias, sidra, or cider, is a way of life. Some say more cider is drunk per capita there than in any place in Europe. Like many alcoholic drinks, cider has been around for many centuries, though it's hard to say just when and just how much. Apparently, there is some documentation of its existence since as far back as the period of Roman occupation, when the people who lived there, the natives from that part, the tribe up there, was known as the Astures, and that's where we get the name Asturias. And they fancied a kind of cider back then. And that doesn't seem that far-fetched. It makes sense. Apples have been an important crop in that region since the 12th century. The first mention of sidra, or cider, appeared a century later. But it seems that it was mainly produced for home consumption, self-consumption, maybe as a way of bartering. But the marketing of the product, the commercialization of this product began in the 19th century, regionally, then nationally, and even beyond, especially where the Spanish emigrants went, primarily in Latin America. And the carbonated version became particularly popular because it's particularly easy to drink. Now, speaking of which, the first thing we need to do is differentiate the two main types of sidra, because while they are very similar products, they are served and consumed often in very different places and different situations. You have what they call sidra natural, or natural cider, and that is non-carbonated. And then you have the sparkling cider, the carbonated version, which is traditionally very popular at this time of year. And is also why I'm talking about it. In Asturias, both versions are produced massively, but the one that the locals prefer is the still cider, the natural version, that the non-carbonated kind. In fact, natural cider in general is more popular in the regions where it is produced. So we are talking Asturias, the Basque Country, and so on. The way you make most of these things, these types of drinks, you pick the apple, clean it, crush it or pulp it, press it, ferment the juice, siphon it, and then wait for a few months until it ages. One thing that can be very important to this process is the right choice of apple or combination of apples. Different varieties have different characteristics. Some are sweeter, others are more tart, others are basically neutral. Cider makers will make blends with different percentages of these different kinds of apples to produce the desired final result. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the process, serving the drink is half the fun. Traditionally, the bottle is raised way above the head and lifted until the arm is straight up. Then it is held horizontally and poured ever so slightly into a wide-mouthed glass, usually held in the other hand around the waist. Now, as you can imagine, the skill required to perform this task without causing a puddle to form on the floor below is immense. And I can attest to this personally. My hand is about as wobbly as jelly in general, and I usually have found myself chasing the flow of the fluid around with my hand that is holding the glass as I'm trying to have the two meet. It's usually an inch or two behind where the sidra is flowing, and it's a mess. It can be really embarrassing. Now, you may be asking yourself, why is this crazy pouring technique performed? Well, the reason is simple. Because there is no gas in the drink, or at least there are no bubbles, this technique is used so that the liquid will crash against the inner wall of the glass and oxygenize it, giving it a bit of a fizz, bringing some life to the drink. In Spanish, it is known as escanciar. That's the verb. And I can't think of a direct translation for it in English. It doesn't last long, so you normally have to drink it pretty quick. And that also explains one of the other curious aspects of this whole tradition, this custom. And that is basically you only pour a small amount into the glass for a little more than a gulp. Otherwise, the drink goes flat on you again. Now, don't panic. We're not talking about a shot of hard liquor. Sidra has less alcohol than most wine, goes anywhere from 4 to 8% by volume. That is like beer or maybe a strong beer if it's higher up, though most is probably between 4 and 6%. So basically, you're taking like a shot of beer. It's also, for the most part, really inexpensive, even in a restaurant. And if you're in Asturias, it's like a dime a dozen, especially in some of the smaller towns. Nowadays, most servers either don't have the time, patience, or know-how to pour the cider the traditional way. You can still find it done, but most places aren't going to be bothered with it. And if you've ever seen it done, you know why. And it can also get very messy. So most places will place on the table a sort of contraption that does the process for you. You sort of hook the bottle in and press a button, and it sprays the cider out with enough pressure into the glass to sort of emulate, I guess, the real deal, the real McCoy. That way, all the customers can do the process themselves, and the waiters and waitresses don't have to deal with it. In the Basque Country, you will also find the sidrerías. It's a tough one to say. Or cider houses. I won't even try to say it the way they do in Basque. But anyway, these are sort of like restaurants that specialize in this drink. So you can get this really good food there. But then you can also get the cider, which is often served contained in this massive wooden barrel lying on its side. and it's tapped there for people to serve themselves. And it's basically all you can drink. And you use it to pair with a traditional Basque meal. A lot of times it might be a cod omelet. And then you'll have hake after that. And then you'll have a T-bone steak. And then follow it with a dessert and so on. In the north of Spain, eating is taken very seriously. And people eat a lot. So be prepared for that if you're ever up there. Now, natural cider, the non-carbonated version, can be a bit of an acquired taste for those who have never tried it. It can be quite tart, but it's good, and I've come to really like it. And another thing is that because it's not carbonated, it doesn't fill you up as much. I would say the most common natural cider that you find in a lot of different places is one called Trabanco. But there are tons of cider makers and tons of different brands out there. Now, the most widely sold version of sidra outside the regions where it is produced is the carbonated kind. And that's been around for a long time. This is not like a new thing. Basically, the cider is made the same way, and then the carbonation is produced through one of a number of different possible procedures. Sometimes it's as simple as injecting carbonation into it before it is sold. Sweeteners can also be added, and it gives it a sort of a sweeter touch to it. The bottles themselves even look like champagne. Most of this stuff comes from a massive producer known as El Gaitero, which translates as the bagpipe player. Not everyone knows this, but bagpipes are native to Asturias as well as Galicia to the west. The Gaitero is not the only brand, but probably the most famous one in the world. In any event, the carbonated version is by far the most common at Christmas time and especially the Three Kings Day. It's refreshing, noticeably sweeter than the natural versions, and has a low alcohol level of about 4% by volume. And as I was mentioning before, one of the biggest advantages to sidras is their great price. Many run from about 2 to 3 euros per bottle. Most go for less than 5 euros. So if you're looking for something new and different and something you wouldn't necessarily associate with Spain, but it is traditional, and it's not going to blow your travel budget, give sidra a try. And if you're up north, especially in Asturias, it's inexcusable not to. It's an obligatory tradition you want to participate in. It goes great with most Asturian food, especially things like that sort of pasty blue cheese they have up there called cabrales. And that'll be all for today. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on a regular basis, check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers or salud, Happy New Year, stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.